relax. Okay? The key is this. Are they demonstrating in Ireland and England against Israel? Are the enemy crying and screaming? You better believe it. Baruch Hashem. I'm getting all these emails. Oh, they're demonstrating. These people are pro-Palestinian. They're screaming and crying. And I say, thank God they're crying. They're crying. God help us if the enemy are rejoicing. Because if they're rejoicing, that means Jews are dead. So I let them scream, let them cry. That's why it doesn't bother me. That's why I'm so happy to see them screaming and crying. God help us. God help us if they're laughing. If they're laughing, you know when they laughed in Gaza? You know when the last time they rejoiced? When 3,000 Americans were murdered on 9/11. They were passing out candy. That's what makes them laugh. That's what makes them rejoice. You know when they rejoice? When an Israeli soldier's body was kidnapped, they were rejoicing all over. When did they rejoice? When 5 soldiers were murdered. Let them cry. When the enemy is screaming and wailing, that means that we are safe and the enemy is getting destroyed, Hashem promised. I love it. I love these demonstrations. I enjoy them. To me, I just get out the popcorn and let's enjoy. what do you exactly want? You want the pro-Hamas people? I'm using the word people very loosely here. Do you want these pro-Hamas, this Edom, to be rejoicing, to be smiling? No, I want it to be crying.
It's an optimistic way of looking at it.
It's really not a twist on anything. I remember going back, I'm sure you remember, 15 years ago when the suicide bombings were going off, we were having demonstrations on the streets with 100,000 pro-Israel people screaming and crying. Let them scream and cry. That means our children are alive. When the 3 boys were murdered, those 3 children were murdered, which launched all this, and in a way, they're karbonos, they are sacrifices in the sense that really, it's a real Mashiach Ben Yosef moment. What happened when those 3 boys were executed? The Arabs are so happy that these boys were executed. And that's what makes them happy. If they're screaming and crying, good. Baruch Hashem, they should keep screaming and crying. And their wails shouldn't stop. I'm such a joy. I can't wait for the next demonstration where they're crying and screaming. It's a picnic.
It's a picnic.
It is. It means that we're alive. It is. It's true. It's true.
It's good. No, I feel a lot better having talked to you about it. It's good.
Really? Yeah. I love that.
I'm not upset. I'm happy. Thank God. That means that the enemy is going down and they're crying and wailing because their heroes are going up and being vaporized. I'm feeling great. Okay. I'm feeling terrific. Okay. I'm feeling good. But I just got an email from a very nice Christian. He writes me this.
Oh, I know
email.
Him. I know that one.
How does a man in your condition become so cute? That's what I want to know. He says, I'm a Christian. I love Israel, but they're screaming and shouting in the streets of London, he writes to me. I said, thank God they're screaming and crying in the streets of London. Could you imagine if they were rejoicing? What would that mean? That would mean our soldiers are being murdered and slaughtered. So it's so obvious. This requires, but you know, we're very nervous about what people think of us. You know, we're not seeking out the approval of the world. This is the enemy. Let them scream. Let them wail. I hope they're screaming and wailing tomorrow. God help us if they're rejoicing in the streets of London. God help us if they're rejoicing in the streets of Damascus. God help us if they're screaming and dancing in Gaza City. Let them scream and wail, and that means our boys are alive and the terrorists are going to their rightful reward.
So what about the people that look at this, the demonstrations in all the major cities around the world and the Palestinians and the pro-Palestinian demonstrations, so on and so forth, reminiscent of Nazi Germany? What of that?
What do you mean reminiscent of Nazi Germany? They're idiots. Sure. That means this. if someone is in North Korea, I don't blame them. Why? Because in North Korea, they don't have access to the internet. They don't have access to Fox News. They don't have access to Fox News, to Sky News. So all they're doing is they're getting, they're brainwashed, bombarded with one ideology. So I understand that. But today, there's very little excuse for a person in the Western world who can easily go on the internet, read both sides, and make an informed decision. These are enemies of the Jewish people, and they have access. They have free will now. There's no excuse any longer for someone to say, "I was ignorant. I didn't know." They can hear both sides. Of course, if they take out crazy glue and they glue their channel to Al Jazeera, yeah, of course, that's what you get. But they're a bunch of idiots if they do that. Today, there's an information explosion. Any idiot could have a balanced information and make an informed decision. And look at Canada. Canada also has the Toronto Star, a filthy anti-Israel rag, but they also have the National Post. So they have information on both sides. And Canadians, thank God, they have a great prime minister and so on. People can make an informed decision today. That's all. The information is available. I let them scream and cry. If I catch them stopping to scream and cry, I'm going to be very upset.
And what do you say about people who seem to come out of the woodwork, people who seem to be neutral, not even have an opinion on the matter, all of a sudden... It does bring the Jew burners out of the woodwork when there's a conflict that involves Israel, and all of a sudden you find out who's a little left of center. And
exactly, it's like bringing out the pedophiles. This is what I want. People, pedophiles, because it's socially unacceptable, people don't say, "Oh, I'm a big pedophile." No, people keep it quiet that they whatever porn. Pedophilia they engage in, a bestiality they engage in. This is fantastic. It brings out the cockroaches. This is the issue, because this way we know who they are. You know who Charles Manson is? Are you familiar with? So Charles Manson, I love the guy. Why? Because he has a swastika on his forehead. This is
his forehead, that's right.
You know, as far as a swastika. So right away, you look at him. He's got a swastika on his forehead. So you know the man's a Looney Tune. You know the man's a psychopath. And it's fantastic. The dangerous people are the ones who don't have the swastika on their forehead. So we're trying to figure out what's really going on in their head. This is the measuring tool. This is good and evil. There's no gray here. So if someone understands that Hamas is shooting rockets at civilians... and shooting rockets at civilian neighborhoods, and Israel responding, what would they do? What did London do when the Nazis were bombing London, arbitrarily just killing civilians? They know exactly what's going on. As it turns out, Halach Esav son Yaakov, Esav hates Jacob. And I may have said this to you. Go back about 10 years ago, a Christian I was speaking to, a very lovely fellow, said to me, he says, the reason I believe in God, he said to me, it was very profound, he really caught me by surprise, he said that anti-Semitism is so irrational, it doesn't make sense. In North Korea, they're killing hundreds of thousands. They're bombing funerals in Damascus. They go on a funeral procession, they bomb the whole procession. But no, the flotilla is going to Gaza. How come? The answer is they're a bunch of filthy liars. Their anti-Semitism is not socially acceptable. You can't say, "Hello, I'm a big anti-Semite." No one says that they're an anti-Semite. So apparently, I'm being asked to believe that anti-Semitism has come to an end. No, that's nonsense. Anti-Semitism is alive and well. The only thing is, it's not socially acceptable to say you're an anti-Semite, so people don't talk about it. So this is how we find out who they really are. In the old, before World War II, they had the Antisemiten, they actually had organizations called the Anti-Semite Organizations. Today they don't do that. The second thing is, if they call themselves anti-Semites, then they become irrelevant. So it's perfect. This is how we know what a person really feels, who they are, where their heart is, and that's all. This is the way to get the cockroaches. Alec, I have no idea. I have not watched TV in Durban or in Australia, but I am sure that at least 30% of the world news that's being covered now is on Israel, right? With pictures of Gaza. Even though Putin is having his men shooting planes out of the sky. Imagine if Israel went and shot a civilian aircraft, a Boeing sensor. Do you imagine what would be? So, could you imagine Putin's bombing series like killing each other, slaughtering each other. And now that the Ukrainian rebels who shot the plane out of the sky are not allowing investigators to even examine the wreckage.
I know.
It's on the news. What does it get, 2 minutes? But Gaza, it's on for, I'm sure, I don't have to even look, in Melbourne and Sydney and all these fakakta places, everything is going on with Israel, as Israel's getting rockets. Well, what would the United States do if Cuba started shooting missiles at Fort Lauderdale, Miami? They would vaporize the place. That would be the end of it. In fact, as we're speaking now, American drones are bombing Afghanistan, blowing the bar mitzvahs that are going on there, and no one cares. But Obama's calling for a ceasefire. What kind of stupidity, a ceasefire? That means we should allow Hamas to hold on to its weapons and whatever tunnels haven't been discovered yet? How stupid. And this Bibi is a very interesting guy. He's a failed personality. But he would have a ceasefire. He would go for it. The only thing is that Hamas doesn't let him, because Hamas is saying we're not going to agree to a ceasefire. Because Hamas is thinking if they stop now, Hamas is going to look like they've lost the war, and pride is everything in the Arab world. So Hamas is letting go.
You think? Well, so wait, let me just get this right. You think Bibi would go for a ceasefire?
Sure.
Even though the ratings in regards to the polling in regards to the current conflict.
That's what's happening. This is what's called the convergence. The convergence is that what is Bibi's ultimate criteria? What does he want more than anything? He wants to remain in power. He wants to remain prime minister. You know, the man has so much potential. He's so intelligent. He's so bright. He's so articulate. But he doesn't have guts. He's a failed person. He has 3 wives. He's cheated on all of them. And he's cheated on his people. He was willing to give up the Golan Heights to Syria. He lied about it. So, but what is keeping Bibi to do the right thing is that he knows that, you know, you saw the surveys now. In Israel, 95% of Israelis believe that the war is just, and the majority of them believe that Israel is even doing enough in their campaign against Gaza. So Bibi realizes that if he flinches now and acquiesces to Washington's pressure, because Washington's the only pressure that Israel cares about, he knows that he'll be out of office. They'll throw him out of office in 10 seconds. That's what's really happening. So therefore, he's doing the right thing.
He can't relent. So tell me about now. This is someone that I don't know that much about Israeli politics, I have to admit. Jason introduced me to a chap by the name of Moshe Feilen, and I've been reading a lot of what he's been writing and saying over the last couple of weeks, and I'm very impressed with the man. Tell me a little bit about him.
I know Moshe well, and I know him personally. He's one of these people who are in every generation. We are blessed with a luminary, a giant, you know, one of these voices that, you know, a Jabotinsky type individual who will not relent, he will not compromise, he will not prostitute himself, and he is calling it the way it is. As it turns out, he was elected. They tried to keep him out of the Likud party, but he was elected. I think his position is number 14, I believe, which is very high on the list. And this man is heart is with God. He's a deeply religious man. And when I say deeply religious, I mean his heart is with Hashem. So I remember in the Gaza Strip, we were together in a place called Shirat Hayam. It was one of 19 Jewish communities in Gaza, and I was there. And the soldiers came in. He took over a microphone, and he made such a speech, I was just crying. He's one of the greats of our generation.
I think I saw the footage of that. There's about a 20-minute footage that he released recently. You were there.
Yeah, of course I was there. They carried me out. They carried me out, even though I had credentials from Israel National News, Channel 7. They carried me out while BBC and Al Jazeera were there with the cameras rolling. Do you know that almost the entire Rojava was arrested during the expulsion? Because basically everyone dropped. We were running on one engineer, one broadcaster in the country, and at what there was a stage with virtual. I wasn't arrested. They just carried me out. I didn't, but they carried us out. A Rojava thrown out of the country. Thrown out of the Gaza Strip. As the BBC and CNN, they were rolling the cameras. But Feiglin, he's a giant. He's a giant of a person. I mean, this man is. He's from another generation. He's one of the gifts that God put on this earth. That's all I can tell you.
So I've heard that he may be a potential successor to Bibi's position. Is that
I don't
true?
Know. I don't know. What is required for Feiglin? There are a lot of people now. I mean, BB would have to fail greatly. He'd have to be very stupid and acquiesce to Kerry and Obama. And it doesn't seem like he's going to do that, because if he did it, it would be political suicide for him. You saw the surveys that just came out in Israel.
That's right.
I think 5% actually feel that Israel is being too strong on Hamas, and I think they're all in the hospital on propofol. I mean, these are vegetables in the. I don't know where they're coming from, but anyways, 95% are for destroying Hamas. Destroying Hamas means to destroying the leadership, destroying their weaponry, obviously destroying all their tunnels, and. Bibi would they're watching him very carefully, and even if he alludes to a ceasefire, because what Bibi's trying to do, and it's a game, is he's going, all right, we'll agree to a ceasefire if Hamas is ready to disarm and ready to complete cease all thing with no preconditions. So he knows that Hamas will never do that. But what this is the game he's playing, and it's very dangerous. He does this is his disease. So he does that as a chess game. So he knows Hamas will never agree to it. And then the way he figures it out is, okay, then I can then say we tried our best, right? And now we could, you know, the same game he says is saying, look, I want a two-state solution. But, you know, as it turns out, you know, they won't recognize Israel as a Jewish state. Bibi doesn't want a Palestinian state, but he's saying it. Saying, look, I'm for it. Knowing what's happening is he is doing immense damage. What he's doing is, in the short term, he's removing pressure. But in the long term, the message he's sending to good people is that a ceasefire is the right thing to do. That the Palestinian people really deserve a state. There is justice to their cause. The only thing is it happens. Hamas is making too much trouble, and this is very bad for the world because they don't get it. They think that a ceasefire is a good thing. Ceasefire is the most dangerous thing in the world. Hamas is a leadership, and their stockpile has to be removed. But this is very much a. Those three boys, I think I mentioned it to you. I said, this is a very much Mashiach ben Yosef kind of, not saying they are, but that was exactly the kind of event I saw right away that will trigger what's happening right now. And that is, would trigger a response that would escalate and escalate. And there is another part here. Everybody knows, we all know, all military leaders have declared, Israel is going to war in Lebanon against Hezbollah, a proxy of Iran. Israel is going to have to go at it alone against Iran's nuclear program. Obama is going to do everything possible to protect Iran. So what's happening is that Israel, when they go to war, they do not want to have a front in the south, right? So what they want to do also, they're also thinking ahead. If they could right now defang, neutralize Hamas, which means destroy all its weaponry, destroy all the tunnels, then when they are dealing with Hezbollah, and there's going to be a war there, and Hezbollah is very well armed, much more sophisticated missiles, much better trained, much larger arsenal, they do not want Hamas to have the ability to distract them in the south. So that's what's going also behind the scenes. Behind the scenes is we have to eliminate Hamas for our future battle with Iran and its proxy Hezbollah. So that's what's happening now as well.
So this is why they only approved, let me get this right, they approved the use of 40,000 soldiers. They called up 10 initially. I think they got another 20. There's 30 involved at the moment. Is that correct? And they're not, which is not.
It's, you know, when George Bush went into Iraq the first time, he brought 57,000 soldiers. That was the whole coalition. This is a large number. We're talking about a very tiny area, 365 square kilometers. It's a very tiny place, Gaza. I mean, you could walk across. I mean, it's just small. This is a huge army that's in there. And the problem is, I mean, this will sound ridiculous, I'm about to say. Every Palestinian, every Arab in Gaza has to get on their face and bow down to every Israeli soldier and say, thank you for saving our lives. If Israel wanted, it could pulverize, it could vaporize Gaza in a second, just carpet bomb, it'd be the end of the whole thing. But Israel is going house to house, pinpoint to pinpoint, because they don't want to they don't want civilians to die. They don't want we'll call them the innocent to die along with the wicked, kind of what Abraham sought to do in his conversation. Israel doesn't have to be risking these soldiers. These soldiers are dying so that Palestinians could live. They don't need to be doing this. They could. Israel's one of the mightiest countries in the world. They
could just is it right that they're made to do it? I mean, is not the option B of just taking out the whole place? I mean, it's not as if they haven't been given marching orders. The bombs are coming. You guys better leave. But Hamas has ordered them to stay, is my understanding.
One thing I know I've told you. Major transition in history, in Tanakh, only occurs within the context of war. And that is, this is technically not a war. This is a conflict. And it has not risen to that level because the casualty rate on the Israeli side is low. You see? Now, this actually takes us to something very deep, which everyone's missing. The reason why the United States and the Obama administration is pushing harder and harder for Israel to have this Iron Dome system is to protect Hamas, not to protect Israel. Think about this for a moment. Let's say there was no Iron Dome system. Say it didn't exist. That means thousands of rockets would actually be landing in civilian neighborhoods, and you'd have thousands of dead Israelis all over the streets, God forbid. Of Israel. What would Israel have to do? It would have to do exactly that. It would have to actually destroy Gaza completely, right? They would have no choice. So by having an Iron Dome system, what it does is it prevents Israel from doing this because the casualty rate in Israel is very low. So in a way, the Iron Dome system, of course, is beneficial. Of course, it's a good thing in that it protects civilians, but more than protecting civilians, it really protects the Gazans. If there was none, Israel would have to go in and completely obliterate it. The Iron Dome system makes that impossible because Israel can't justify wiping out 1.5 million people if Israel doesn't have thousands of casualties. So the Iron Dome system, it really is protecting Hamas.
But after this, what you're saying is that you fully expect Hezbollah to come into full swing. The Islamic State? They're knocking at the door. Are we expecting them to barge on through soon?
Oh, you mean ISIS?
ISIS?
Yeah, of course. But what's interesting is they're being opposed by Hezbollah, thank God, because that group is very, very strongly Sunni, and they can't stand the Shia, and they can't stand Bashir, they can't stand, the Syrian head, because because he is Shia, and therefore they're going
to be. But he was Alawite.
Yes, but the family, that's the clan.
Right.
That's not a form of Islam. That's the clan that he belongs to. But that clan is a Shia affiliated clan. Let's take Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was part of a Ba'ath Party. The Ba'ath Party is not a denomination of Islam. It rather is a clan that's associated with Sunni Islam. The clan, the Alawite, is a clan that is associated in confederacy with Iran, the confederacy with Shia Islam.
Right.
So that's why Hezbollah was fighting against. That's why Hezbollah is fighting against the rebels because they want to protect Bashir. They want to protect him because he's one of their own. That's what's really occurring here.
Right. What's very refreshing about everything you just said is it puts a very justified, optimistic spin on it all.
Yeah.
And that's something that I haven't seen on Facebook, and I think that would be really good to give that to everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, just one other thing here. If you'll notice that all of these super high technology methods of protecting Israel, whether it's the nuclear program, which the father of Israel's nuclear program is Shimon Peres, a leftist, the person who was behind the Iron Dome, who initiated it, he's from Sderot, and his name escapes me right now. But these guys are all leftists, and the reason why they come with these very fancy technologies is there's also a leftist ideology behind the Iron Dome and Israel's nuclear program. The leftist idea, you're going, how could that be? How could there this, how could a nuclear program and how could an Iron Dome system have any ideology? Well, the answer is that these people are trying to do this. They're trying to say, well, Israel can come up with enough technology that it does not need to hold on to all to Judean Samaria. We could defeat the enemy by simply have a nuclear deterrence. We could defeat the enemy by simply having an Iron Dome system, and we could allow a Palestinian state to flourish in Judea and Samaria. After all, we have a nuclear program. After all, we have an Iron Dome system. So really, at the core, these two programs are the brain, were born in sin and conceived in iniquity. You should know that. But that's what really happened here. That means there's no right winger who think about this. I want us to think about this. Imagine you're in Melbourne, okay? And there's a guy in Melbourne who's got a machine gun and he's shooting out at the highway driving through Melbourne, okay? Mm. And there's a whole bunch of guys and they got machine guns and they're AK-47s and they're spraying up, God forbid, they're spraying up all the motorists that's going by. So there's two ways you can come up with dealing with it. One way is to take over that building and kill out all the terrorists who are shooting onto innocent motorists who are driving by this building. Mm-hmm. Or you could do something that the left come up with. We could come up with a gun that's so powerful that when they shoot a bullet out of their AK-47, we'll have a bullet that will shoot their bullet out of the air. could you imagine? They would throw this man in a psychiatric ward. Sure. That means that's what this Iron Dome system is. The Iron Dome, you just understand what it is at its core. It's saying, no, we're not going to solve the problem by actually destroying the terrorists and stripping them of their armaments. Oh, no. We're going to come up with such a smart system that they're going to shoot a bullet onto a motorist, and we have a gun that's so strong, it's going to shoot their bullet out of the sky. That's what the Iron Dome system is.
That's a really good... Jason, have you ever thought of it like that before?
I know, that is really... And doesn't it cost like $50,000 per missile?
Yeah, it costs a fortune. They take a toilet. That's why there are no toilets. All the streets, forget. That's why Gaza is going to become very fertile very soon, because they have no plumbing. But what's happening is they basically are shooting a toilet that costs 50 cents, the plumbing from a toilet, into Israel. And Israel, which costs 52 cents from Ace Hardware. And what happens is Israel has to take a $20,000 super missile to shoot out of the ground. But this is the Iron Dome system. We're all very grateful for it. But why the hell do we need it? We need it because we never took away their guns. No country would ever come up with, oh, there's somebody shooting at us from a building? We're going to get a gun that's so strong, we're going to shoot their bullets out of the sky. That's how you respond? That's what the Iron Dome system is. It's a left-wing system. Every normal country in the world would never think, let's come up with a bullet that could shoot another bullet out of the sky. What a stupidity is that? You go and you wipe them out. But the leftists don't want to go and wipe them out. They don't want to take over Gaza. They don't want to liberate this land. They want to be able to live in Tel Aviv, in that little strip of land. And how will they control the area? After all, they've given it all away to Hezbollah. They give it away to Hamas. They give it away to Islamic Jihad. We're going to come up with bullets that could shoot bullets out of the sky. So the whole Iron Dome system is really born out of a leftist ideology. I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy it now that we have it, but there should have never been a reason for it.
No, but that's a very good point. There should have never been a reason for it. So it's tolerating the intolerable.
Do you know of another country, another country that guys are shooting with machine guns onto innocent people on highways? And someone, could you imagine what would happen in Australia if some lawmaker in Ireland would come up, you know what we're going to do with people who shoot at innocent people? We're going to invent a gun that could shoot bullets.
As an Englishman, obviously, you know, we grew up hearing a lot about the Second World War, and I'm wondering what would have happened if, when the Luftwaffe came over to bomb London, the gunners on the ground only shot the bombs out of the sky. That would have been an endless campaign. Yeah.
Well, let's say the technology was available with the British. Let's say, of course, the technology in World War II wasn't available. But if it was, would the British feel satisfied that the Nazis can go on and on and on bombing, and England is doing what? Shooting bullets out of the sky. What kind of stupid thing is that? They're shooting bullets out of the sky. You go in and kill it. There's no country, even England. Even in England, they would never do that. They would never say, let's find a bullet that could shoot a bullet out of the sky. They'd say, no guns allowed. If we fight, and you know what they'll do? You know what they do to you in England if they catch you committing a crime in England with using a handgun, a firearm? They'll throw you in prison for the rest of your life. They don't play games there.
No.
So what kind of country has to come up with, forget about the cost of it, but that's why Obama is so, and he wins on two ways. Number one, he keeps Hamas alive by keeping the Israeli casualty rate down, because if those rockets were all landing, thousands of rockets, there'd be tens of thousands of dead Jews all over the place. Israel would have to go vaporize Hamas. Obama loves Hamas. He doesn't want that to happen. So he gives Israel a special gun that could shoot another bullet out of the sky. What kind of stupidity is this? Nobody ever thought of such a ridiculous thing. You go and take out the thing. So the whole Iron Dome system, of course we're grateful, but it should have never been needed. The whole thing is predicated on stupidity and left-wing ideology. Okay? When I call Obama a stupid idiot, I do it with respect. I don't mean that in any disrespectful way. I mean that with the greatest respect. I call him a stupid idiot. I would never say that in any form of disrespect. Anyway.
Thanks for clarifying that.
I just want to clarify that point here. But that's a, I know, we could shoot bullets out of the sky. Is there another country that would do such a thing? People are shooting all over at civilians. Let's find a bullet that could shoot their bullet out. No, they would go and wipe them out. Those kind of stupid idiots come up with such a thing that we shoot bullets out of the sky. Get them bullets. The answer is they don't want to kill this is a protection for Hamas. That's all.